Welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we research teen culture so you can focus on connection. For today's episode, we have a lot coming at you with fall just right around the corner. That means Halloween is coming up. So we'll be talking about a few Halloween costume ideas, maybe some trunk or treat ideas if you're in a community or church that does that. And then we'll jump into Caleb's Corner with a cool new trend, as well as Tobin's trend. And then today, our main topic is dealing with back talk. A great boom, conversation. Baby. So one really that I'm sure that, we're all pretty good at. Yeah. but jumping right in with costumes, with Halloween right around the corner, we're just trying to guess as best as we can the costumes that will be big hits this year. And I feel like the obvious ones are Barbie and Ken.
Oh, yeah. Easy.
Like, it's crazy. I'm seeing that everywhere. Like, even a school up here in Tulsa, they have the homecoming week dress-up days. And the whole week is Barbie and Ken.
The whole week.
So you have, like,
wow,
city Barbie, country Barbie, like, normal, like, pink Barbie. So they're all different types of Barbie throughout the whole week. And so I had kids show up on Wednesday this week with like pink cowboy hats, stuff like that. So
it's amazing what Greta Gerwig has done to our nation. Like, she literally she's united us, guys. She's united the nation.
So. Over Barbie and Ken.
Let's go, Barbie. The next big one, low-hanging fruit, of course, Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. And that's a nation divided. Truly on that one is what I've seen of people are, especially if football people, they're like, it's invading my space now. My holy space. You know, sure. I get like 2 days a week to watch NFL football and she's dominating it. And then
we're going to talk about it has potential later too. So yeah. This is good.
Yeah, we are. But I think it has potential to be a big costume because it's easy.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're a couple, that's an easy one to throw on, like, a sparkly dress and be a football player. Right. Like, that's low-hanging fruit, like you said.
And a lot of dudes have Travis Kelce jerseys already, so just throw that on.
Hey, we're all in couples, okay? Where do y'all stand on couples' costumes? Like, how do y'all feel about them? And maybe, Carly, how does your husband Josh feel about it?
Oh, Josh is all the way out. Except one year I made him, I was an old lady and he was the life alert button. Oh, and that was brilliant costume.
That was a good one. Haley and I this year are doing, I think, Burt Macklin and Janet Snake Cole. So that one should be fun for us.
I don't mean this if it's not offensive, but Caleb, you do strike me as like a go all the way out on Halloween kind of guy. I'm the opposite. I'm Jim Halpert. I have not evolved into dad Jim Halpert where I'm willing to dress up as Popeye yet. I do not care one bit. Like, and every year, like, and now my little son, this probably speaks more about how, you know, cold I can be, but he was just like, "You gonna dress up this year?" I'm like, "No." Like, dressing up's for kids. And then my wife's like, "But I'm gonna dress." I'm like, "Good for you." Like, I'm gonna wear my, you know, shorts and t-shirt and walk down the street with y'all. So
yeah. I can get Josh if it's a t-shirt. Like, if he can wear normal clothes and just throw a t-shirt on, he's good. Otherwise, no.
I'm more inclined to be willing to do it if I'm able to just, like, do it from what I have. It's the planning and the constant, like, having to dress up and, like, you know, really go all out. I don't have any desire to do that.
Sure.
No, yeah, I am weird when it comes to dressing up. But a few other costumes are, I've been seeing this is weird. Like, Nacho Libre, speaking of like couples costumes, I've been seeing a lot of like him in his recreation clothes. And it's like, imagine if this was us. And it's Nacho and Encarnacion, nun from that movie. So I don't know if that will be
that
a
movie's
big trend
making
this year.
A comeback. It's coming back around. It's gotten popular on like social. So a lot of the kids, like, because like people that like my age that watched it when they were in high school and college or love it, and now their kids are getting older and they're able to show it to them. So, and it's good, clean fun too. Like, it's
it's a great movie. I'm just surprised that it's popular again.
Yeah.
And I have those recreation clothes because I dressed up as that like 3 years ago. So I'm ahead of the curve. And then another guess of mine is a resurgence for Star Wars with like Ahsoka And, you know, like Anakin has made a return like in that series. And so I expect a little bit of a resurgence for that. And then, of course, you have your anime / manga people. I think One Piece just came out, which is a anime that was animated, has a live action show on Netflix. And so
is that the guy with the mustache?
I think so. No.
And the red eyes?
Yes. I think that's a character in it.
We are not the people to talk about this. We're going to upset a lot of people, probably.
I need to stop. I need
anime
to stop.
Fans are very serious about their anime. So.
That is true. I haven't seen that one. But I expect with that on Netflix, live action, might see a big uptick in that.
Sure.
And then Trunk or Treat ideas. I mean, again, some of these will translate well to Trunk or Treat. Mario with that new movie had even come out this past year. Barbie, Trolls. My students, we do a little competition within our small groups of best Trunk or Treat, and our high schoolers are really set on the idea of Minions. So
that's another easy costume. You throw some overalls and a yellow shirt on, some goggles.
But they're making me be Gru, so I'm going full bald cap with the scarf. So be looking for those pictures. I'm sure they'll be great.
We'll post one when we get it.
And then like last year we did beach themed because one of our high schoolers was like, hey, let's get my truck and fill it with water. And we were like, yes. Oh. His trunk, of course. So that's what
not
we
sand?
Did. What?
Not sand?
No sand. Just water. It was great. We got
you
a
could,
tarp
you could combine. It. You could combine beach and Barbie.
Great idea.
Because Ken does beach.
Yes. Yes, we figured it out. There's your Trunk or Treat. If you're looking for an idea, we got it for you. Beach Barbie.
I love it.
But speaking of like dressing up and all of these things, pretending to be what you're not, which to me is one of my favorite parts of Halloween, right? Like I get to be Gru, come up with an accent, you know, be something or somebody I'm not. A trend as we jump into Caleb's Corner that has popped up like just recently, like a few days ago, Mr. Beast tweeted out a deepfaked AI video of him saying, hey, I'm doing the biggest iPhone 15 giveaway, like where you can like just $2 and then I'll send you the iPhone 15. And you may look at that and be like, okay, who would fall for that? First of all, the video is pretty good. It's pretty low resolution, but like I feel like used to these scams are just like a still photo with a pretty chopped up voice behind it. But like he's moving, his mouth is moving, the voice sounds like his voice. And he tweeted out, was just like, listen, how are we gonna deal with this? Because people are falling for it a little bit. Like it's his face, his voice. And it just kind of opens up the question to like social media apps of like, how do you even deal with that? And like, if we are at the floor of deepfake, it's only going to get better and then more accessible for different people. And then we are even seeing, I just saw this recently, Meta is coming out with an AI tool, like an AI chat person. And it's crazy. Have you seen it?
I haven't. I just feel like though almost every app I'm in now offers AI.
I mean, Wells Fargo does. Like,
yes. It's like you can get what I design all of our teen life stuff in Canva. You can now use AI. Maybe I'll post this picture. I was just telling Tobin and Caleb about it. I asked it to. I was just playing with it and asked for a group of teenagers sitting in a circle, and y'all.
It's terrifying.
The horror of their faces and their arms that are fused together and hands that are in the wrong place. It's terrifying. But you're right. I think like it's not just you have to go search for it anymore. It's like in apps now, which is going to be something that we're going to watch and keep up with. But I think the Mr. Beast thing is interesting because if it's only $2, that's very low risk, which is probably why people are falling for it.
And he's but a guy who gives away stuff all the time.
Yes. But if you think about how many followers he has and they're all giving $2, that person's making a lot of money.
Right. Right. Hey, it's just $2, right? And I'm Mr. Beast. You'll get your iPhone 15. Like he does giveaways like on like TikTok, stuff like that, where he'll just hand out. He'll have like a stack of iPhones to just hand them out. And so it's not a big leap to think that he would do something like this. I mean, his big thing is like if you subscribe to him, and you like fill out something, he'll send you a cookie. And all you have to do is like subscribe to him. And so he's like known for this. But the thing that Meta is doing is that they're taking celebrities. Okay. Like Mr. Beast, Dwayne Wade. We have like Snoop Dogg. Okay.
Oh, no.
And they're taking like their likeness. And I don't know if they're using their voice too, but they are, you can like chat with them, but they are not themselves. Okay.
Is that legal?
I don't know.
Surely you have to get permission to use their likeness.
I would think so. But like Tom Brady's on here and his name is Brew, B-R-U. And he is a confident sports debater. So, you know, if you want to talk to a guy who's going to debate you on sports and fantasy football, just talk to Brew. For instance, Mr. Beast is a brotherly jokester. We've got Dwayne Wade as a motivational triathlete. Okay. Gross. Snoop Dogg is the dungeon master, and he is an adventurous storyteller. And you can also, they have like Instagram and Facebook for each of these characters. It's wild.
Caleb, I know that we're new to this and we haven't been working together very long, but I forgot to tell you about my no Dwayne Wade rule. Like, we can't talk about Dwayne Wade ever. Like, he's enemy number one in my household. So
I'm sorry. It's a good thing.
I'll let it go this time. But yeah, Dwayne Wade.
He didn't say he liked him, to be fair.
Right. And his name is Victor.
I'm just saying. It's kind of like Voldemort. You don't say his name out loud. So
you must not be named.
Yeah. But I do think, okay, so you brought up sports guys. Mm. And I think I want to jump into Tobin's trend with some sports things. It. Okay. So one of the things that's coming up that I'm noticing in my own household is the idea that teens are not watching sporting events. They are just kind of getting the highlight packages. They get, you know, the reels, the TikToks, that stuff, and they're not, you know, digesting actual sports games. Okay, so we're about to enter in we've entered in the baseball playoffs already. The NBA season's about to start. NFL's about getting going. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of sports going on. So I think it's good to talk about this right now. But from an article from, let me look it up, make sure I get it right, from Morning Consult, they said that 32% of Gen Z in this poll that they did said that they watch live sports through authorized streaming services. Okay. So Carly, I know that your husband's real big in this stuff, and you by proxy are as well. Okay. So one of the big problems right now, and it's not just the teens not being interested, but it's also the availability of it. Do you guys have the problem with this in your households? Like, I know for a fact, like the Mavs, like, because I'm a big Mavs fan and being in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, they are on one streaming service in this area. One. Yeah. Okay.
Is it still Bally?
It's Bally, and only DirecTV carries it. So, like, if you don't have one of those things, then you are out of luck. And so that was part of it.
Same.
Yeah, and that was part of the problem is, so like I looked this up, the Denver Nuggets, who just won the NBA championship, okay, since 2019, they have not been on a cable provider in the Colorado area because their owner, Stan Kroenke, who, spoiler alert, is a really terrible guy, a bad owner for a lot of teams. He's moved, you know, terrible person, so it kind of tracks, but he owns this thing called the Altitude Network. And in 2019, them and Comcast got into a big argument, a commercial dispute, and it has not been solved since. So let's see, I'm looking at the data. I think it was 18% of their like viewership was on Altitude, and the rest of it was illegally streamed in the last 4 years. Wow. And then they were the lowest home household network in the NBA since then. And they just won the NBA championship, and they have a very good team, and their own state can't even watch it. So that's part of the problem. Okay. And I'm going to have a couple other things. So, well, actually I want to throw it to y'all first about that. And then I have some specific things about the Major League Baseball and NFL, but what are y'all's thoughts about how that translates to Gen Z and why they're not watching things?
Well, I mean, I think, like, I don't even technically know. I was born in 99, so, like, I don't think I'm technically Gen Z, but it's, like, towards the beginning of it. But, like, for me, it's, like, I still piggyback off my mom and dad's. It's, like, for a while, they had DirecTV. So I could do Bali. I could watch the Rangers, the Mavs. But now they moved to Hulu, like, live TV. And because of that, like, I haven't been able to watch any Rangers game because they're just on Bali. And so, like, I'm just watching ESPN, like, live cast and things like that. But I'll say for me, it's I just recently started watching like full games and being able to do that. Like for a while I would do like in high school, especially, and some of college would just do top 10, like ESPN top 10s, like waking up in the morning with a bowl of cereal and watching Sports Center where I could just watch the highlights. I think something that for me had been around for a bit, but then like TikTok is an easier form of media for that now.
I definitely think this generation, their attention span is shorter. Maybe that's an unfair generalization because probably not for everyone. But to sit and watch a 2 or 3 hour game, they don't want to do it, but they can get on TikTok and watch the highlights. Right. They can get on YouTube the next day and someone has compiled every single Luka shot that he took last night. And you can watch just the fun parts like that. Or even thinking like the way that the NFL does red zone, where you only watch the clips of when they're in like close to the end zone. Yeah. I just think that's the way our culture is going of like, I don't have time to sit there and watch the boring stuff. Just give me the interesting stuff. And I think that's what we're seeing.
Well, and too, I think people, teens especially now, are more fans of people, of like players than they are
teams.
That's
very true.
Like you said, for if I'm a fan of Luka, I kind of a fan of the Mavs, but I would rather watch every shot Luka takes because I like him more than I like the team he's on, which is interesting. Man. Less drive to watch the full game.
So all of that said, I think that leagues are noticing. I mean, obviously, they have people that watch this stuff pretty, you know, dramatically. Major League Baseball this past year made some, if y'all are listening and don't know, they made some very drastic changes to a game that has historically been behind the times because there's a lot of old people that really just, you know, it's America's pastime and they want to make sure that it stays the same. And that's one of the reasons why they've been one of the worst performing leagues for a few years. They added a pitch clock. They have a lot of new things with like, they have Nike doing a lot of new things with uniforms and they just kind of different branding. And they've also changed the baseball so there's more offense, so there's more action in the game as well. Because of those changes this year, and I am a part of the statistic because I didn't care about baseball at all before last year or for this year, really. It also doesn't help that our team was terrible for a long time. But they had a 9.6% increase from the previous season from in-person attendance, which is huge. They surpassed 70 million in-person attendance for the first time since 2017. And this is the big one. The average length of game is right now is 2 hours and 39 minutes. And it's 24 minutes down from what it was last year when they were already kind of experimenting with some of this stuff. That is the shortest time of game since 1985 when most games weren't televised and they didn't have commercial breaks and stuff. And so that's one thing. So Major League Baseball has said exactly what you said, Carly. They said, we don't have the attention spans of any. It's not just a generation thing. It's adults, too. It's everybody. They had to shorten and make the game more concise. The NFL is what we talked about earlier. I think you put the stat in here, like based on the Nielsen. Oh, wait, hang on. I'm going to get back to the second. But they are doing like Nickelodeon games. And like having the games where like they're having certain styles of broadcast and they have the slime. This past weekend, they did the Toy Story game where it was literally like
wild.
It was really weird.
It was weird.
I mean, it was cool, but it was like, man, like that's really genius. And like somebody tweeted out, I wish I knew who it was so I could credit them, but someone was like, man, ESPN owns so much, ABC owns so much, Disney, whatever. Like there's so many possibilities of doing like Star Wars games and Marvel games and all these kind of things that they could do. Mm-hmm. And that's all because they want this younger generation to be into their sport. And let's talk about the Taylor Swift part of this. Like, I mean, because that's a big deal right now. So based on the Nielsen ratings, which is your typical generic out of home market metric stuff, their viewership among teen girls 12 to 17 spiked 53% from the season to date average for the first 3 weeks of Sunday Night Football because of this possibility. So like that right. So what's going to happen is like when Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce inevitably break up, because that's going to happen. It's real. Like let's be real here. Okay. Like they're going to now take that and be like, okay, how do we get that demographic to stay? And it might be like, hey, you know, they've already got Carrie Underwood singing the song at the beginning of Sunday Night Football. And like, it might be bringing in more female front things. It might be, like they're just realizing that the days of only caring about middle-aged men is kind of over. Like you have to care about everybody in these situations, or else you're gonna fall.
And I think too, they're already jumping on that trend. I think like with TikTok, stuff like that, leaning into highlight heavy. Mm-hmm. Like you'll notice the NFL, TikTok, stuff like that will post highlights and lean into that. And then another trend that I'm seeing too on TikTok, like piggybacking off this, is you'll see a bunch of people post pretty much illegally like 3-minute clips of a show or movie. And then they'll just basically post in 3-minute clips almost that full episode or movie, because it gets around, because it's in a clip like that, it gets around the laws that against piracy, stuff like that. And they'll get a lot of views. And recently, the Netflix TikTok uploaded a full episode in 3-minute segments like that to promote it. So it's crazy how these people, even the NFL sports, are seeing these trends of let's go where they are and give them the highlights or the short segments that they want.
Well, and I think what you said earlier, Caleb, like this generation cheers for people. They like the story. Mm-hmm. They like to feel connected because they follow them on Instagram and TikTok and all these things. So even things like Quarterback that came out on Netflix, where it's following these quarterbacks, I think they're trying to be more creative in how they bring this generation in. Mm. And a big way they're doing that is let's invite them into the story, which I think is why they're really playing into the Taylor Swift thing, because it's not just they can talk about that otherwise. Like the NFL is changing their bio to be Taylor's version. They're talking about the Chiefs record since she's been there. I mean, like stuff like that, that you're like, what is happening?
Right. Hey.
And I understand it's making a lot of people mad.
Yeah, but get over it.
But they're doing it for views. Like they're doing it because it's working.
The other thing now is Carly, I don't know if you noticed this, this year with NBA and NFL, the big thing was schedule releases. And so like when they did their schedule release, they take a certain trend on TikTok and they're using it to release schedule. Like one of them was like, they went in, interviewed people that have no clue about sports and like, who is this team? And they're like, oh, it's the Dallas Cowboy men or whatever. And or like they have like the one where the glass is rolling downstairs. And then, you know, it just, they're being way more proactive about trends, which is kind of fun. And honestly, I mean, it's, who cares? Like your sport is still the same for the most part. And if it's not the same, it's getting better. So it's just enjoy it and have fun.
Yeah. I think I don't have a catchy transition into this one, but I do want to, I know, I'm so sorry. I do want to get into back talk today, talking about teenagers, because I think this is, I don't know if an issue might be strong, but I think this is something that adults complain about a lot, whether you are a parent or a school staff person or just an adult in their life, back talk is potentially going to happen depending on the student. Mm. And so I want to talk about it. I did some research into it, and this is fascinating of like, why is backtalk such a big deal for teenagers? And I got this from Psychology Today. And I'll post all the links, of course, in the show notes. But it says that adolescents are entering the age of consent, where the teenagers know that parents or adults can't actually make them or stop them from doing anything without their cooperation. Mm. And so that's kind of where this back talk comes in, because for so long, they just knew, I'm not in control of what happens, the adults are, and teenagers are growing in independence, which is a good thing, but it comes with back talk because they're learning like, hang on, you can't make me do that. Like, what are you actually going to do? I have like way more consent than I've ever had before. And so I just think that's really interesting. But I do kind of want to look at this from a new perspective, because I know back talk's not fun, but thinking about it through that lens, teenagers who talk back feel empowered and they're testing their independence for the first time probably, which is not a bad thing, I don't think.
No. And instead of teaching them that it's a bad thing and fighting back, teach them how to use that voice.
Because
you want them to use that voice. You want them to, because if it was anybody, if someone else was giving your teenager grief, you would want them to stand up for themselves. You just don't want to do it to you because it's you, because you're the parent. You know, now don't get me wrong, they're probably wrong some of those times, but like, you know, you want them to stand up and have a voice. And so it's your job to teach them how to use it instead of just assuming that it's automatic, you know, back talk and sassiness. So I'm talking to myself, by the way. I am not saying that I have this figured out. Because I'm very quick to jump on this. In fact, Carly, I don't know if you can talk about that TikTok that you found like regarding this. You showed it to me in the office last week, and my immediate response was, I hate that. If someone said that to me, I would be so annoyed. Like, and so I am talking to myself in these situations too. So
yeah. And even like, I don't have kids, but like as a student minister, even like one of my least proud moments as a youth minister is I'm in a group of middle school boys, and we're doing like our highs and lows and just kind of talking, hanging out. And it's like within my first year. And so I think they're also testing the waters with me and kind of, yeah, I think discovering, wait, I don't have to do everything this guy tells me to do. And like, they're just talking like, hey guys, like let's go and let's answer some discussion questions. And they just will not get on point. And I goes, hey, I'm being serious. Seventh grade boy goes, oh, he's being serious. He's being serious. And, oh man. I just, the level, I could feel my rage just rise. And I was just like, you know what? If you don't want to do this, we don't have to do this. We're done. And I stand up and like, I go to the bathroom and I just like take a few deep breaths.
I'm turning this car around.
Yeah, it's basically what I did. And I come out of the bathroom after, you know, letting the rage die down a little bit. And they're all just sitting there like, what? What are we supposed to do? And I go back, and it was a voice that I don't think has come out of me since then. But it was like, listen. But I talked, I think, I kind of blacked out of rage for a little bit. But it's just like focusing on respect, right? Like, you don't have to listen to me. Right. And this isn't school. You don't even have to be here. But if you don't give me the respect, why should I give you respect back? And just letting that translate back to the broader sense, right? If you don't give people the respect in the small group setting, whenever they are talking, and respect their opinion and give them a respect that a human deserves to listen to them and things like that, then why should they respect you back? And then letting that translate, like, then that, you know, right, in the real world as well, beyond just this, it's a useful thing to learn.
You know,
but I also think something like that you can fall into a trap as an adult that we need to be wary of is if you totally shut it down and come down too hard, there is potential that they will not talk to you anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, if you say, like, absolutely, like, I'm not saying, and hear me say, there is, and we'll kind of get into this, a way to correct and a way to teach and to guide. But at the same time, if you're like, do not speak to me like that ever again, there's potential that that teenager will never talk to you about anything again. Right. Because they felt safe enough to bring something to you to say, hey, I disagree with this. And I just think we need to be careful in how we treat that, of at least acknowledging like, hey, I hear you, but we can maybe do that in a different way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think too, like, if we talk about this from the school's perspective, like if you're listening from a school, and God bless you, like, you are getting, you're getting this every day, all day, multiple periods a day. It's not fair, first of all, but you as a school staff person, the reason why that teen is talking back or stressed out, it probably 9 times out of 10 has nothing to do with you. And you have to remind yourself that and stay calm in those moments, like, take a breath. And it's not fair. But one thing that you want to avoid as a school staff person is you need to be their safe place to kind of have some, you know, an outlet a little bit, because if they were to talk that way to maybe their parent or their family member, whoever they go home to, there might be worse consequences that are more damaging emotionally to them. And so I'm not saying take one for the team, but I kind of am saying, like, just kind of remind yourself what you're there for. And also, like, that, you need to stand up for yourself as a parent or as a teacher as well. But also, like, knowing that maybe you can coach them on how to talk differently. And then also that unlocks the relationship that they can have, a trusting relationship at a school too, that they may not have had before, if you're able to kind of coach them on how to deal with that in a different way.
Yeah. So let's talk about, like, what we can do. And Caleb, I think maybe unintentionally you did this. And the first thing is, like, take a deep breath. If you are feeling like triggered by that, because sometimes I think as adults, we get taught like, that's disrespectful. Mm. How dare they talk to you that way? And so, like, take a deep breath and be like, what are they actually trying to say? And are they actually being disrespectful, or are they speaking passionately? Because sometimes they don't know how to do that well. And so use that as an opportunity to have a discussion and kind of maybe even like take a deep breath and be like, hey, it's okay to disagree with me, but can we do this in a kind way? Mm-hmm. Tobin mentioned a TikTok, and I'll post it, but some of the things are not helpful that she's like, basically, here's how to respond to back talk. But one thing that I use with my little kids is like, hey, try that again. Mm-hmm. Like, can you say that in a different way? Can you, I don't think you're talking about it the way you actually mean to come across. So try it again and let's start over and give them another chance to do that as well. Mm-hmm. I also think listening is so important. Like, show them like, hey, I do respect what you think. And if you're willing to listen and take that calmly, it also is modeling for them how to do that. Which is huge for those teenage years. And in that, maybe acknowledging like, hey, I hear that you're really passionate about this, or I hear that you're really upset, but what can we do to work together mm-hmm. on this? Or, hey, can you change your tone? Can you maybe choose a word that is not a cuss word? Those kind of things can be helpful. And then I think the most important thing that I just want to hit on is keep showing up.
Yeah. That's huge.
Like, it's so important that if you have a disagreement with a teenager, especially if you're not a parent, so they know like, hey, you don't have to be around me anymore, like a school person or a volunteer or a student minister, like it's okay to like correct and to talk to them about it. And then the next time be like, hey, I'm still going to show up. Yeah. We're going to keep doing this thing because I'm not going anywhere. Mm.
And that might be the first healthy time that they've seen that too.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think like too, it's just, you know, being there for them and letting them know it's okay. Like I think changing the mindset, like you said earlier, of like, let's view this as a good thing of them feeling comfortable enough mm-hmm. to come to me and talk. But, you know, as always at Teen Life Podcast, you know, whether it's dealing with back talk or anything, we view and think that teenagers are not a problem to be solved and want to partner with them. And so everything that we do, this podcast, and if you have, if this is your first time listening to us, you can go back and listen to other podcasts and you will find that line that we believe that teenagers are not a problem to be solved in everything that we do. And so you can subscribe to us on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts to listen more of what we have. But for now, thank you guys for listening and we'll catch you in the next one.